I had one of those weeks where I was ready to preach. I had a title, I had a sermon. It was called Old But Ever New. And then on Friday, the Holy Spirit started bombarding me with scriptures. And I'm going to bombard you with scriptures today, amen. Because we need the Word of God, don't we? Yes. So right through Friday, I was kind of, I don't get into panic mode anymore. I kind of just understand that God's going to win the battle and I've got to change and do what he wants to do, or else the sermon I would have preached would not have had any impact. So this is a very old sermon. They are old sermons. But we are going to prepare our hearts a little bit more intensely to come round the table here today. How many of you know that we are blessed people? And many of you today would say, I am eternally thankful for the cross. Because if it hadn't been for the cross, we wouldn't be sitting in here today. Is that right? The ultimate sacrifice is Christ crucified. Christ dying and Christ rising again on the third day. That is why we're here today. We believe in that. That is a song that we can sing. I believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe in all the attributes that's around the cross. And the scripture that was thrown at me really this week, straight off the bat, was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness. I'll say that again. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of the cross. Yes. There's not going to be a PowerPoint this morning. I never had time to do one. That's how fresh this is today. So if you're taking notes, jot down the scriptures as we go along this morning. Okay, nothing is really going to appear on the board unless the Holy Spirit does it. And all things are possible with the Lord today. The Apostle Paul wrote elsewhere that the gospel of Christ, hallelujah, is the power of God unto salvation. Anyone been saved in here? Yes. Praise God, that's good to know. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of the crucifixion, they are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. Both are said through the Word of God to be the power of God. How many of us believe in the power of God? You are saved because of the power of God. Bless God for that. So they're inseparable. And both are said, as I've mentioned, to be the power of God. Hearing the good news of Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection for you and me brings to your life, what does it bring to your life? It brings God's power to save you. Has anyone at Mossvale really been saved? Yes. I mean, really saved? Yes. Really changed? Yes. You know there's no going back. There's nothing back there, is there? That's the past. That's your history. And we can't alter that. We can't change that. But if you have been saved and saved by grace, then you stand today with the opportunity and the possibility to be a living stone and to press on to the greater things that God has for your life. Why? Because of the cross. The cross, as the song says, has said it all. Yes. Nothing more really needs to be said regarding our lives. So God's power has come to us to save us and to change us. Listen to this. One winter night, bleak winter night, a 6 p.m. service. Remember the 6 p.m. service at Mossvale? Who used to go to those? They were good nights. Good nights. We're going to have one soon. Tell me, we're going to have a one-off special. No one else in the church knows that. You know it now. Putting that out there. One, I think it was a little Indian pastor or something like that, about 35 odd years ago, I was just sitting there. I was never a bad boy. Never really a bad boy. I'd done some bad things, but I was never really classed as a bad boy in that sense of the word. I was quite a tough guy on the rugby field, as Pastor Robert knew. And then when I got on there, it was a different animal altogether. I would fight, I would try and pull people's eyes out. I would punch, kick, and do all those things that weren't supposed to do. But anyway, I wasn't a bad boy when it came down to it. But on that bleak winter's night 35 years ago, when I'll be honest with you, I wasn't in a right place with God. I would say I hadn't really committed my life to Jesus at that point. I hadn't really surrendered my life completely to him. So I'd kind of bought into the things of the world, maybe been brought up in a Christian home. There was elements of rebellion against the expectations that were put upon my life. But on that night, sitting in this church, about five rows back in those days, probably about where Lisa is, it was a pew. It was a pew. Couldn't move in them. No good to charismatic and Pentecostal people whatsoever. No good. Kept on banging your knees in the ledge in front of you. Home with black and blue knees. But on that night, the message simply delivered and simply spoken to us went in. You ever had that moment when you thought you were there and thought you were saved, then the Spirit of God said something to you, but this time it went in. It's like you heard something for the very, very first time. Well, that night I heard something. I've been hearing in the first 20 years of my life preached beautifully by the men and women of Mosville Community Church. But that night, the Lord tapped on my shoulder and says, Hugh, it's time. It's time. And I don't know, this happens to me all the time now. Do you ever feel a wet sensation on your cheeks? That's tears, by the way. For those that, what's that he's talking about? Well, I wasn't really an overly kind of emotional person up until that point. But on that night, snorters and tears and conviction and regret that I had not paid attention to God on that night, he touched me. As the song says, he touched me and made me whole. Now, I was one of those, I'm a slow burner. I'm sharing some testimony this morning, this is good, eh? I'm a slow burner. It takes me time to get things. A long time. Gail chased me for 6 years. That's a kind of idea. How it plays out. She chased me for 6 years, and then she got me. I gave in to her. But when I fell in love with her, I loved her. And I loved her like a man can love no other. I loved her. When I got it, I got something, and it altered my life. So right on that very night, and these folks will testify to this, within a very short time, the Spirit of the Lord was so on me, there was powerful changes going through my life that Pastor Robert and that recognized a kind of calling on me for young people at that time. And almost within months of that, we developed this Thursday night youth group. And it wasn't a social night, was it? We did church together. We had 45, 50 kids coming in here, having worship, having the word of God. Changes were dramatically going through my life because God had really, really saved me and I had surrendered to him. Here's what I know and I can tell you today. I knew that at that moment that my many, many sins were absolutely forgiven. I knew that straight away. I knew that I was born again. No one else had to convince me. I knew I was born again. I knew at that real moment I was adopted into the family of God. I began to experience victories over the sins that were in my life. Long-standing bad habits began to lose their strong grip on my life. Amen. Amen. Have you conquered some sins? Have you overcome some things in your own life? Because that's what happened when the power of God comes into your life. You go through a series or a season of changes. Suddenly, from not being so up for coming to church services, I could not wait for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Because at that time growing up, we had services every night of the week. And you wonder why you rebelled. Couldn't you get to watch your football? Couldn't you get to go to football? Couldn't you train for football? Nothing. My life was church, but at that point, That's all I wanted. That was all I wanted. And as I went through this series of changes due to the power of God in my life, many evidences of God's power occurred in my life as a new baby Christian, new born again follower of Jesus Christ. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Praise God. The New Living Translation says it this way, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Wow. And as you look at that, you begin to think, what a grace-filled trade. Incredible. At the cross, our sinless Savior Jesus had all our sins placed directly upon him, and then God's righteousness is placed upon you and I. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds or by his stripes, we have been healed. Amen. Three wonderful blessings flow out of this from Jesus' crucifixion, which are mentioned here. Look at them closely in that scripture. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Jesus on the cross, Jesus bearing our sins, gives you and I now the power to die to our sins. Praise God. Further, we are enabled at this point by the power of the cross for Jesus to live in total righteousness. To live what? To live a holy life. Say, holy life. That is something that becomes, because of the cross, an attainable goal for us. Then it says, the third part of this, by the wounds inflicted upon Jesus in his scourging at the cross, we have been healed, amen. Divine healing for you and I is now. It's for the church and it's for us today. Paul speaks in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Amen. Through Jesus' blood shed in the cross, you and I are offered an abundance of blessings. Well, I'll say amen to that. Formerly, his enemies, according to this scripture, I am now at peace with God. We are now at peace with God. Once alienated from God by our unforgiven sins, we are now reconciled to God by faith in Christ's death on the cross for us. Furthermore, our faith in Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection for us, brings changes into our lives that actually enable you and I to now live holy in his sight. Wow. Formerly guilty, unforgiven sinners, we now find ourselves, according to his word, without blemish and free from accusation in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, what does it say? But Christ lives where? In me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Praise God. Crucified with Christ. Now understand this. When I came in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, and that's something every man, woman, and child must do. When I came in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, here's what happened. All the benefits of his crucifixion and his resurrection on the third day, all of them became available to me. Now, that obviously doesn't excite you at any level whatsoever, but that totally blows my mind. that everything is available now to me. What am I saying? I'm saying this. The old Hugh, he wasn't a bad boy, I've told you. The old Hugh, this is not it. You'll never get to see the old Hugh. The old Hugh died. He died a death. He died to his sins. He died because of what Christ has done for him. And then what emerged from the old Hugh and the new creation was the new Hugh. He's a better Hugh. That wasn't loud enough. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Got to convince people in here. But here's what happened to the new Hugh. You'll like this. The first thing that emerged in the new Hugh was a three-letter word that starts with the letter J.
Joy, joy, joy.
Let me get to the Y. And ends in the letter Y. In the middle, it's O. Now you can say it. Joy came on me. Two things came on me when I repented, joy and grace. These are two elements of my life that I tend to try and live by all the time. That if you know me and hang around me, I'm kind of like this at home as well. I preach in the living room. I sing in the shower. I tend to live out this joy-filled life. I tend to drive my family crazy because it will not leave me. Even through death and loss and trial and trouble and tribulation, it has never left me. Grace has never left me. I've said before, some of the things that have been said, done about us as a family and whatever, grace has never left us. We remain to pour it out to people who've abused, hurt, and made things incredibly difficult for us in decades and years gone by. Joy and grace will sustain you because they change you and cause you to become the child of God that God wants you to be. We need those attributes in our life and we're going to keep on coming up short. So the new Hugh began this joyful and victorious life of faith in the Son of God. Praise God, I hope by his mercy that I haven't failed him as I've walked out this journey. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So the power of the cross of Jesus Christ enables believers such as you and I to break the grip that the things of this world have on us. Amen. Amen. My goodness, what's wrong? This sort of stuff should have us swinging for the chandeliers. When we know what he's done for us, one day, like me, you will get it. I know sometimes I'm up here and you think, look at him, he is a fool, and I do not give a monkeys. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than silent in the world. I'd rather say the things that must be said than say nothing at all. It's for his glory. It's all for his glory. So the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the cross has broken things in my life. How about you? Has it helped you there? I trust he has. The world does not have any claims on you any longer. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah! I'll just go for it myself now. I'm in the zone. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, that's Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. We understand the ancient Jews and Gentiles had a long-standing history of animosity towards one another, but then Jesus died on the cross for all.
Yes,
for all, not for some, but for all sins of all mankind. And why? What happened when he did that? Thus opened the way for both Jew and Gentile to be united in one body, being the church. Amen. The takeaway here is that Christ's cross has the power to unify every disparate group on earth. Atheists, Jews, Gentiles, the poor, the rich, the honored, the despised. These and more can all find their unity in Jesus Christ through the overcoming power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that can take place in each one of our lives. What's happening? He is breaking down the barriers that so easily and at times, sadly, divide us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of God. Listen to this. Whether you have not figured this out or whether you have, there is victory through the power of the cross. I said there is victory through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died to break the power of Satan over our lives. Sometimes we live like he still has the power. Jesus broke that curse. He broke the curse of sin. He broke the chain on the cross and gave us freedom in our lives. We understand we cannot do this on our own. That's an impossible task. But the power of Christ's death on the cross and then his resurrection on the third day are fully sufficient to break every single tie or every single hold of Satan in your life and in my life today. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of us amongst us have lived all our life fearing some form of death. Well, here's the great news, and it remains the gospel news. You and I no longer have to fear going to hell or being under Satan's control in this life or eternity. Why? Because by Jesus' death on the cross, once again, he has broken Satan's power. He has freed you and I from being held in slavery by our fear of death. Having been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, you and I can now look forward to eternity in the very presence of God. Amen. Amen. What a day. Listen to this as the band comes back. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go there first. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, hallelujah, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Praise God. And this may surprise you. But the great apostle Paul admitted that he was unskilled in speaking. How then was this man of God so effective in ministry for the Lord, since he did not come with eloquence or human wisdom? The answer is clear. An absolute example for every one of us is that he did not focus on his own understanding or his own human abilities, but he always focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. He was all about Christ and Christ crucified. Listen, church, today, the world we live in is getting worse, and it's getting worse. Crime, immorality, violence, corruption, and more seem to have permeated every fabric of society as we know it today. Man's best efforts to turn this around are failing at every corner. There remains in the world one great hope. Yes. There remains in this world one great hope. There remains in this world one great hope. Jesus. Do you know him? Yes. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
He is the hope of glory. He is the hope of eternity. He is the hope of our salvation. And it is a supremely great hope. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. Would you stand with me this morning, dearly beloved?